It's not what you said, it's how you said it. We've all heard those words, and usually it's in the midst of an argument that can be a time of tension, and it's uncomfortable for us, and that's kind of the gist of what Jesus says, that the Pharisees, it's not like they're teaching wrongly, it's not what they said, it's how they said it, it's how they taught, and how many people in the world would have faith if the people that taught it to them did it in a way that was convincing, with more sincerity, with more kindness, with a certain amount of authenticity. One illustration of something that was taught to me when I was a kid that I never would have taken to was square dancing. It was a part of Phi Ed class. I don't know if you grew up at that time, but anyway, you had to pair up and bow to your partner, do-si-do, and all this business. And I never would have done it, except that the teacher was fun. He made us, he helped diffuse some of the self-consciousness that you have when you're insecure as a kid. It's not what you taught, but how you taught it. And that's the key for us, is passing on the faith. We want our world to believe in God, to recognize that He made us for Himself. And that's really good news, but how do you get people to kind of come around without pushing them too hard? It's not the what, but the how. And each one of us, we consider how the faith has been passed on in our life. I remember I've talked about the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. That's the Montessori way of teaching the faith. It comes from this Italian lady, Sophia Cavalletti. And the first time I was exposed to it were these two kids, and they were little boys. They were probably 7 and 9 years old, brothers, John and Dominic. And they were telling me, Father, before Mass, you put on an amice. Yeah. And then you put on an elb. That's right. And then you put on the cincture. How do you know all this stuff? Well, they had these little dolls that are priests, and they had to dress them. And he said, and you wear green during ordinary time. Yeah. Do you know why? Yeah, to bring the Packers good luck. It's not working this year. Anyway, there's always next year. But now they understood these things. And when we start to understand, well, these kids, when they went to Mass, they would watch because they could see, they could understand it. Oh, look, he's wearing white because it must be Easter. And that's a sign of the resurrection, the hope that life has changed, not ended. We will die, but we will live again forever in eternity with God. Well, how we teach the faith. This is important. And a few standards that or we can meditate upon it. We can be strict. We can have certain structure. I know sometimes we shy away from it, but Jesus said, unless you are perfect, like my heavenly Father, unless your holiness passes that of the scribes and Pharisees, He holds a high standard, Jesus does for us. And when I was a teacher, you would always have somebody on staff that they had the reputation for being tough, and the kids would not like that teacher initially. I remember a math teacher and an English teacher, two different schools. And then the kids would go off to college and come back and say, I got an A in my calculus class because the teacher was so good that I was prepared. Another kid would come back and say, my professor said, where'd you learn how to write so well? Well, that was the end of anybody worried about, oh, they're too strict, they're too tough. Matter of fact, everybody signed up for those teachers because they could see that this is a way of loving, of holding people to a standard that with our help and their own determination, they can achieve. We can have structure. We can have that high standard. Better to aim high and miss than to aim low and hit. That was the old aphorism from years ago. Jesus holds the highest standard. He wants us to be like Him. He says, come to Me. I'll give you a beautiful heart, make you fishers of men. Another way that we can help pass on the faith is to make connections. Jesus was a genius at this. He used stories, parables, so that people could understand. Sometimes it's so lofty, like we leave church and what am I supposed to do? It wasn't relevant. It's not pertinent to how I live. I don't have anything to take away. People say I stopped going because I didn't get anything out of it. That's too bad, but each of us has a part to play. I'm reading a book by this Catholic mom, and she was writing a chapter about distractions and prayer. Anybody ever get distracted when you pray? Half of you are distracted right now. That's okay. It's all right. We expect that. But she was trying to illustrate it, and then she realized at night she was reading a book to her little girl called Black Beauty. It's about that horse, right? And at one point they put Black Beauty in this pasture, and it's all these other cows and the horse. And then all of a sudden this train goes by, and Black Beauty gets so upset that he runs to the far side of the field. And every time the train comes, he gets upset. He runs away, and then he realizes, he looks at the cows. They don't change one bit. The train goes by, they just stand there chewing their cud. And then she sees that that's what distractions can be, like that train. It's just part of life. They're going to come through every now and again, and there's no sense getting upset. We certainly shouldn't quit. We shouldn't give up. We should just say, that's the way it is. Accept it. Be determined. Stay there like those cows and just put your time in. Be strict. Make connections. And finally, whatever we teach, we have to recognize the timing of things. Jesus knows when we're ready. He also knows when we're afraid. And many more things I'd like to tell you, he said, but I'll send the Holy Spirit. My mom was a teacher, and she taught elementary little kids, especially those who were slow learners, people that struggle with reading and things like that. And she said that as she got older, she'd recognize a lot of kids, they came from broken families. And she said many times before she even taught them anything, she would be a mother to them. She'd be kind to them and express to them how loved they were, how much God cared about them, and he had a plan for them. He understood their hurts, but he had such great dreams for them. She understood that timing is everything. And sometimes before we teach, we have to love. I used to say that love builds a bridge so then the truth can come over. Not what you said, but how you said it. That's something we can all consider. The bad teachers, well, it's people that put themselves before God. They put other things before God. That's a real temptation. On a Sunday, the Lord's Day, sports, there are a lot of things that crowd God out of our lives. And we have a right and a duty to stand up and say, no, God comes first. Bad teachers are people that it's just a job. Their heart's not engaged. They no longer have a passion for it. They're just going through the motions. And that could happen to any of us at any time. Teachable moments, things that can make an impact. I hope you listened to Rich this morning. St. Vincent de Paul does so much good. So do Catholic Charities. I hope, because sometimes we look at these passages in Scripture and we say, well, I would never be like the Pharisees, judging people, thinking that I'm superior to people. I've been with Rich on some of these home visits. And sometimes when I meet poor people, sometimes I judge them. And I'm not proud of that, but it happens. And it's good for me to be aware of it. To recognize that Christ is as much in this person in front of me as he's in me or anyone else in this world. Can I love him? A sister called in on the radio the other day, and she's from St. Louis, and she has a very different approach than I do, I think. She said that she saw a homeless person, and she pulled over and got out, and she said, how are you? And she started to talk to her. She loved this woman, even before she did anything, and then she gave her a dollar, and the woman, she said, gave her the biggest smile. She said, I'll never forget that smile. She didn't have any teeth, but she was full of Christ. That's the way to love. Those are teachable moments. This week we had the sad death of a guy that was a long time on this television show called Friends. That's my generation, a guy named Matthew Perry. I've been thinking of him and praying for him. It's a sad death. We don't know all the details. But the one thing we do know is that he said in an interview one time, he said, when I leave this world, I hope people remember me for more than just a person that was on a TV show. That's a teachable moment. He wants to be known for who he really is. All of us do. That's the way God made us. Jesus came to teach and to preach. And he knew not only what to say, but how to say it. And that changed lives. It changed people. It changed eternity. And now it's determined to change you and me.